Turn with me, please, to Ezekiel 22, and I'll get us started with prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight. I thank you for this privilege, this honor, to share your word with my brothers and sisters. I ask, Lord, for grace, Lord God, your grace this evening. I pray that you would settle our homes, quiet things around us so that we can receive your word and we can embrace what you are releasing in this hour. I pray, Father God, that you would unveil the nuggets of your word. So precious are these nuggets, Lord. So necessary for today. Help us, Lord God, to receive all that you have for us tonight. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. In your precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, why was he seeking for a man to stand in the gap? Here in this chapter of Ezekiel, this whole chapter is on the bloodshed. It's on the bloodshed that had contaminated the soil. All the reasons, all the license for judgment that would come forth is found here in this chapter. And what did he say? Even still, knowing what has taken place, knowing the way the people have been treated, the compromise, the conspiracy, the prophets, the deceiving that had taken place, the priests were violating the law, the holiness and the profane things had been contaminated, the princes of the leadership of their nation were devouring and stealing and costing people's lives. This is the cry that was taking place when he said, and I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You see, my heart is very heavy this week. My heart is very heavy over what's taken place in New York, what's taken place with the abortion law, all the way up to birth. All the way up to birth. And Illinois has taken a stand now that they will be the most progressive state in the nation in terms of their abortion laws. They've not only said you can have an abortion for any reason all the way up to the point of birth, they've removed laws. They used to have a law in effect that if you were to harm a woman that caused her to lose her baby after 24 weeks, you would do jail time. They've removed that from the books. They stood up there today, or this week, and proudly implemented this. Proudly implemented it. And guess who sponsored this bill? None other than Hillary Clinton. Sitting right there alongside him. as this governor pressed on to see this passed in his state, she was right alongside him. And today, as I prayed about this message tonight, and the Lord has been speaking to me about redefining the church. He's been speaking to me about the kingdom of God. He's been speaking to me about what he wants to do in our nation in the days ahead. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, that this woman isn't our president. Because if she was our president, she would be pushing this across the books. Who is the opposing party? Donald Trump, do you know why New York has passed this law now? I'm going to read this to you straight from their mouths. We have a president who's made it very, very clear that he wants to overturn Roe versus Wade, State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins said at a news conference ahead of the vote on Tuesday. Today here in New York, we're saying no. We're saying no, not here in New York. And we're not just saying no. We're saying that here in New York, women's health matters. We're saying here in New York, women's lives matter. We're saying here in New York, women's decisions matter. So that's her reasoning. That's the reason they've pushed this. That's why Illinois is following suit. Because they're trying to implement state laws so that even if Trump overturns Roe versus Wade, and let me make a correction, even when Trump overturns Roe versus Wade, the state law goes into effect. And I'm telling you right now, you might want to leave those states. Because judgment is coming. He looked for a man who would stand in the gap, and he found none in New York. Those intercessors need to be praying because he found none who would stand in the gap against the bloodshed of these children. They're saying women's health matters. A woman's right to choose matters. Do you know that less than 1% of all abortions that take place are as a result of a woman's life being at stake. Less than 1% of the millions and millions of babies that are aborted every year. Less than 1%. You can add up the woman's life in danger, serious birth defect in the baby, and rape and incest. You can add all of those up, and you still have less than 2% of all abortions take place as a result of those things. Yet those are the platforms that they push forward with. I looked for a man who would stand in the gap, and I found none. Let it not be said here in the United States any longer. Let it not be said that God looked for someone who would stand in the gap for a life of an unborn child. And he found none. Let it not be said in our nation. God have mercy on our nation. Every child that is aborted is sacrificed. It's actually a sacrifice to Moloch. What were the instructions that God gave to Moses? Book of Leviticus. Leviticus, he actually gave it multiple times. Leviticus, I believe it was 17. You know, we can be passionate about something. Leviticus 18:21. Thank you, Lord. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. That is in the same context. Do you hear that? Why is that? If we let our seed pass through, if we take our child and allow them to be sacrificed to the God of Moloch, that is a creation. God is the giver of life. God is the creator, the giver of life. And if we take that precious, tender gift that he has granted us and we sacrifice it to Moloch, the blood of that child's on our hands, it's on the doctor's hands, and we have profaned the name of the Lord God. Leviticus 20, verses 2 through 5. Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whoever he be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed to Moloch, to defile my sanctuary, and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed to Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. He is serious about this command. Every child that is given up in abortion is sacrificed to Moloch. See, what they fail to tell you is that by the seventh day, the blood is already flowing through that baby. Blood. After conception. What they fail to tell you is that within a few days, your baby's heartbeat is already pumping. What they fail to tell people, what they fail to tell women, and this isn't a conviction for anybody who may be listening on the line, because God is a God of mercy. God is a God of forgiveness. He sent his son to cover up our sin. He knows the ignorance we may be in. But when we come to the understanding and the knowledge of what we've done, we must repent. We've done this in our GOEs, and we brought up, and the Lord said, bring them up and let them repent, because I'm about to heal them. Heal their broken hearts. They fail to tell women the devastation that they will go through as a result of what they've done. They don't even understand. They don't even understand the life. That there is actually life within. They don't understand it. And they don't tell these young women what they are doing when they go in for an abortion. A few states have on the books counseling for their options. They have to come back. They have about 24 hours. A few states on the books. A few states on the books require parental consent for a minor. Some require both parents. And I applaud these states. I applaud them. I applaud the people that are going out there and crying out against this crime. Because when you have a minor who's gotten pregnant and they're afraid that their parents are going to be upset with them, they're afraid they're not going to have someone to help raise their baby, they're afraid. I was 18 years old when I got pregnant with my oldest daughter. And I'm just putting all my stuff out there. And I'm doing it because God is a God who redeems us, who heals us and restores us, and he understands where we're at. I was 18 years old when I got pregnant with my daughter. I wasn't married. I wasn't even in a good relationship. But there was no way. I went to a clinic to make sure. And that was, you know, back in the late 70s, Roe versus Wade had been passed. Everybody was on board. Everybody was on the abortion train. And they advised it. But you see, I had accepted the Lord when I was 10. And there was something in me that said, I can't do this. Even listening to them talk to me about it, even as afraid as I was, a young person, 18, pregnant, I had to make that decision. What will I do? What will I do? How will I take care of this baby? I'm in school. How will I do this? But the Lord was protecting my child. And He pricked my heart, the same spirit that was in me when I was younger. My heart was pricked, and I fled. I wouldn't even take their vitamins. I fled and found myself a doctor. And that young girl is the apple of my eye. Her name means appearance of God. She is a precious gem given to me. We walked through painful times together. She's not only my daughter, she's one of my best friends. I look at her, and even for a second, I can't imagine my life without her. Not for a second. But their advice, you're young. You have plenty of time to have children. There was no other option in their minds. They were fresh off the abortion train. Excited to get another victim to sign up. And we think their tactics are any different today. We think that today they don't sit there and pressure these young girls. I was online doing some research today about abortion. That's a very hard subject. That's why I just prayed for grace, and my heart is so heavy, and you probably feel it, and I just ask you to embrace it and let the Lord pray through you tonight. And there's actually an abortion counter put up by an organization to bring awareness about the tragedy of abortion. And you can see where the abortions have taken place just today in our country. How many are a result of incest or rape? How many have taken place across the world? You can watch that counter climb every second. It climbs worldwide. They have one for the states and they have one worldwide. And when I turned it on And you think, you're looking at a computer, numbers are just moving up. But when the gravity of what you're seeing hits you, the world grows quiet around you. The weight on your heart is heavy. As your heart pounds over what you're witnessing, I had to turn away. It was so painful. It became painful to see these numbers move. We didn't know what they were about to do in New York. We didn't know what Illinois was about to declare. But while we were going through the prayer points, at the end of last week, the Lord said, put abortion on here. Put abortion on here, because we need to start praying. Because He knew what was coming. He knew. And He knew the intercessors needed to become ignited about this issue. You see, if Hillary Clinton was in office today, and as I watched that counter, the Lord told me, if she was the president of the United States today, see, I saw a picture of her sitting there next to the governor of New York in her pantsuit, hands in her lap, smirk on her face as he made the announcement. And the Lord said, if she was president, this would have been her push for the entire country. Forget about overturning Roe versus Wade. Forget about it. Because she would have overturned any law that protected the sanctity of life. Her fight, her passion would have been to sacrifice as many children to the god of Molech as possible, because it gives her power. You see, we are in a day and a time when the kingdom of God is at hand. The New Testament has 105 occurrences of the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. Do you know what that means? We are in the age of the kingdom of God. That means the gospel of the kingdom of God began going forth when John the Baptist proclaimed it. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17, Jesus, after he came through his temptations, what did he do? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. From that point on, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, was released in the earth in a way that it had not been seen before. Jesus went from there and he performed mighty miracles in their midst. Mighty miracles. He got their hearts ripe for the picking. He sowed into them. He showed them what the kingdom of God was. And it was power, and it was authority, and it was being released in the earth right then. He sat them down, and in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, he lays out the Beatitudes. And what does that mean? That means he told them what it means to live out the kingdom of God in this earth, the kingdom of heaven in this earth. That is the gospel every preacher should be preaching right now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because as the god of Moloch is getting fed, every child that is sacrificed in satanic ritual abuse, every child that goes under the knife through abortion, every child all the way up to birth for any reason, empowers the enemy's camp. But right now, right here, he's redefining the church. He's going to bring judgment on the house of God, and he is going to raise up his body of Christ free from organized church. He's going to raise up his body of Christ who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. He's going to raise up a people who will humble themselves and pray, who will humble themselves and cry out in repentance. What does repentance mean? I shared about it 2 weeks ago. That means you turn completely from one direction to the next. You're on the right path, you turn to the left, and you head down the left path because you know that right path is off. You turn completely away from the path you're on because it brings death. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If believers understood, really, really, really understood how close we were they'd be on their knees. Someone sent me a clip from a pastor. And this pastor, he said the Jewish people pray 3 times a day. The Muslims pray 5 times a day. Why aren't the Christians praying? We barely pray over our food anymore. Why aren't they praying? We need to pray in the morning. We need to pray in the noontime. We need to pray in the evening time. We need to pray at night. We need to pray in the midnight time. Because the power of God will only come forth from those who know who their God is. And if we are not in the prayer closet, if we are not entering into intimacy with our God, we're not going to get our assignments from the right God. I'm telling you the truth. Do you know how many pastors get their sermons from the internet? Do you know how many churches are out there today already rehearsing from the Christmas program for 2019? Where they will have scantily clothed girls dancing on the stage in the name of some semblance of a Christmas program? Circuses have been had. Literal circuses on the stages of mega churches. Girls coming down on trapezes in a leotard in the house of God. Where's the holiness? God is calling us to a place of holiness, a place of His presence, a place where we see the kingdom of heaven being released in the earth. Because the kingdom in the enemy's camp is getting stronger, and he is raising up his house of prayer even now. Because as the enemy's camp gets stronger, the kingdom of God must also get stronger. Mom mentioned the 7 spirits of God last week. That we will be endued with the 7 spirits of God. We need to be praying that for our president as well. God will give him the grace to trudge through that swamp he's going through. He is calling us out. You know what it means to be called? To be called? Called out of the world and into God. Beloved, called. What do you think Paul said so frequently? Beloved, I beseech you. You are called, chosen. The church called out of the world and into holiness. If we are going to stand strong in the days ahead with darkness growing, the kingdom of God must also increase in strength. And that strength only comes in Him. And we can only gain that in prayer and the Word. You guys probably say, Ricky, you just, every time we hear you, press in, press in, press in. Get into the Word and prayer. And you know what? That's what you're going to hear from me every time. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are at the end times. Why do you think darkness is so great in the earth right now? That's what happens. The ultimate battle, good versus evil. Hollywood's been displaying it for decades. The ultimate battle, good versus evil. That's where we're at. We're at the climax. Are we ready? He can't bring judgment to the earth. I looked for a man who would stand in the gap and found none. But today, I tell you, we are standing in the gap. We are standing in the gap. And we will continue to stand in the gap for these atrocities, weeping before God. Weeping. Weeping before Him that He would stay His hand of judgment on the nation. That revival might come and save the souls that would be saved. What did Jesus say when He turned the tables in the temple twice, beginning of His ministry and just before His passion? My house shall be called an house of prayer. My house shall be called an house of prayer. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, a lot of people don't understand where we are, and it scares them. It really does. And I'm going to tell you another little secret about myself. When Mom wrote her book, Prepare for the Winds of Change, I was one of the first editors of the book. So I do a run through, and we had a couple other editors. We each have our own little niche. I remember going through that book. Now, this was early 80s. And I remember hearing my heartbeat most of the time. I was terrified. Because in that book, what the Lord revealed to her through those visitations was the judgments that were coming. And people say, well, you know, that was almost 30 years ago now, so and they never happened, right? Do you know why? Because if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves, repent and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. And see, I keep saying my, because the truth is, when I pray that before God, I cry out, forgive us, Lord, and heal my land. It's my land. My children are here. My grandchildren are here. Forgive us. And heal our land. It was scary to me. I was young. It was very scary to me. I said, are these things really going to happen? You know, like I'd never read the book of Revelations before, right? But the Lord commissioned us. He put us on a path of the gatherings. And we have no idea how long that has stayed the hand of judgment on the nation. It was mercy. Because if judgment had come upon our nation in the condition we were in before revival fell, do you know how many souls would have gone to hell? We have people that say, quit praying against these things. It's God's way of bringing judgment. Nope, judgment is coming to the land. And I think, do you have anyone that lives in that state that you might want to see go to heaven? What does the Word of God say? Judgment must first come to the house of God. The house of God first. Before He can bring judgment to the nation, He's got to clean up the church. And then bring judgment to the nation. Doesn't mean we won't have pockets here and there. That's what we're seeing this year. Judgment coming to the house of God because we didn't stand in the gap. We didn't cry out. Compromise entered in. I talked about it a couple weeks ago. Instead of embracing holiness, we flaunted the world from our pulpits. We embraced it. Homosexuality, we embraced. Not only did we embrace homosexuality, but we held their weddings in our churches. The Bible is very clear about homosexuality. Adultery. Using our fancy words. Using our traditions. The Bible even talks about this. Using our traditions to steal from the widows. That's what the Pharisees were guilty of, you know. One of the things. Using tradition to steal from the widows. God's got to clean up his house. He's got to prepare his house. This is the redefining of the church, where he pulls us out of organized religion and he brings us into a place of righteousness, a place of holiness, a place where we can be equipped to fight the forces of evil. That's where we are today. And if the thought of judgment coming makes you afraid, ask God to give you grace. Pour your heart out before him. If there be any wicked way in me, reveal it to me, Lord. He formed us in our mother's wombs. He knows us. Through and through, he knows our thoughts better than ourselves. He knows our heart better than we do. If there's anything in us that is not of him, we lay it on the altar and let him take it, consume it with his holy fire. And then rebuild according to the kingdom of God. 105 mentions the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We should be preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven every single day. Every day. What did Jesus do after he healed people? What did he do? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Chapter 4 of Matthew. He does massive healings and deliverances. And then in chapter 5, he lays down the bylaws of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. All of them will inherit the kingdom of God. He details for nearly two chapters what the kingdom of heaven is. The attributes of the vessels. We are the salt of the earth. Do we still have our flavor? Or do we need to be cast out, trodden underfoot? Do we still have our flavor? The deeper we go into the kingdom of heaven, the richer our flavor becomes. This is what he lays out for us. The richer our flavor becomes, the more strengthened, the more enriched we become with the kingdom of heaven, the more we are equipped to battle the forces of evil. Do you see how that works? The battle between good and evil. saying, well, I'm not going up against Hillary Clinton. No, Trump is, and we need to be praying for him. But you know what? I'm going against the force of evil for my children and my grandchildren, for my family members, for my friends and their children and their grandchildren. We've got to fight for them. Fight for the kingdom of heaven to be released. Fight. Weep before God for the things that we see in this earth. I remember a time when I just was so exhausted from it. I said, Lord, just return. Just come back and get us. And he began to show me people that would not be taken. They would not make heaven if he did. And I just wept. I'm sorry. And give me the grace and the strength to make it. Give me what I need to press on. Help me, Lord. Help me in my weakness. For it's in my weakness that you are made strong. Help me. Help me. Help me finish the race. I don't want to stop one step early. Help me, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help me, Father. Heavenly Father, I just lift my brothers and sisters up to you. I lift those that are weary up to you, Lord God. I lift them up to you. I know the battle's been long. I know it's been grievous, and I know this year is not going to be an easy year to see what we will see, but Father God, in the end, your kingdom will rise up. People who will follow after you, your remnant, those craving intimacy with you. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. Just help us. Give us the strength we need. So that when you see bills that are passed, like what we saw in New York, and what Illinois is planning to do, Father God, when you look for a man who will stand in the gap, you will find us there. Give us the grace to be. To be the release of the kingdom of heaven in the earth. Give us the grace to be it, Lord God. Give your intercessors the strength. Give them the faith. Give them the hope. Give them what they need, oh God. Release it into them. Let them see the hope of the promises to come. Let them see what you have waiting for them. Will you do it, God? Will you do that? Release it into their spirits even now, Lord God. There are many that are weary. I feel it in the spirit. There are many that are weary. Let the Lord ignite your faith. Let him ignite your hope. Let him ignite you. And give you what you need to finish your race. He I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your people. I thank you for the anointing that you're releasing into them, Lord God. A resolve to finish the course. A determination. I see strength rising up. I see it. I thank you, Lord God. And Father God, we pray for our president. I just pray, Father God, this baby Christian, given the weight of the world within his first year of accepting you. I don't know anyone who could stand up under it, but Father God, you created him to do so. Give him the grace. Give him the strength. Release unto him the seven spirits of God, that he might be ignited and brought into intimacy with you, Lord God, so that he too can finish the race, fighting against the hand of the enemy to free our nation from the darkness that awaits to devour her. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name.